Begin the current daf, Masechtas Brachim daf Kuv Vav. Begin 4 lines down with the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the top of this Amud from the previous daf, where the Gemara's discussion was regarding this halacha of burning the parma and the srafim, the sirim and the srafim, which are done out of the 3 machnas. So in that there was a discussion of machlekes regarding exactly in which direction. It depends on where we learn out the source of this halacha, either that it's towards the east of Yerushalayim or it's toward the north of Yerushalayim. But be that as it may, the pasuk says where you burn these parma and the srafim and the sirim and the srafim are, like the pasuk says, al shevach beis hadeshen, the place where the ashes of the leftover ashes from the on the top of the altar were taken out. That's where they were burnt. Now, on that, Rabbi Yisai Glili said, a beis hadeshen is rough, and it has to be burnt, actually, if there's ashes there first that have to be brought over there, which we already mentioned from the previous daf on top of this amud, that the inference is that the Tanakama of the Bryce that we brought, which is on the second line of the Gemara, that only says it has to be chutz l'shalash machnas, that doesn't say it has to be burnt abeis adashen, that there doesn't have to be ashes over there. So that's why Gemara continues in Amr Rav. He says, man tana de polygalad Rabbi Yisai Glili, who is a Tanakama who disagrees with the Rabbi Yisai Glili, and says there don't have to be actual ashes over there. It has to be the same place where the ashes are brought. But it doesn't have to have actual ashes there when you're going to burn the parhel, the davishal tibur, all those parman, the strub, and the siman, the strafim. Says the Gemara, so says Rav, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakovi, who he says that when it says, al shefach beis hadeshen, Shefach doesn't mean like Rabbi Yisai Glili interpreted that it was actually poured over there. Rather, it means to say that the place where you're burning these parm and the sirim and the srafim have to be on a slope, which is that the ashes will pour, will roll down. But it doesn't mean literally that there were ashes poured over there. It just has to mean that it would be poured. To sound like in the Braisa. Pasuk Meikra says regarding the carbon of the Kohen Mashiach, the Kohen Gadol, when he makes an erroneous ruling, says, Al Shefach Adeshen Yisarv, on the place where the ashes are poured, that's where he burns his carbon. So the Tanakam over here says, Rabbi Yisai Glili, Sheyehei Sham Deshen, that there should actually be ashes over there from the Mizbeach. That's the prerequisite to burn the carbon over there. But Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, he disagrees. He says, no, Sheyehei Mokayim Meshupach. It means that the place should be on the slope. So shefach doesn't mean that it was poured over there, but it's where it would roll down because there's a slope, but not that it actually has to have ashes over there. On that, Omle Abaya, however, asks on Rava and says, how can you say that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov necessarily is the one who disagrees with Rabbi Lili? Dilma b'mekayim meshupach pligi. Maybe they're disagreeing regarding if it requires a slope. Meaning, maybe Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agrees to Rabbi Lili to the Tanakama that there have to be ashes over there. It's just that he's also requiring that the place has to be a slope, and therefore there's no raya that the one who disagrees with Rabbi Lili is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So the Gemara continues on this topic and the topic of our Mishnah regarding those who are involved in the burning of the taking out the parim and the sirim and the srafim that their garments become tamei. Tanamang linda braisa, hasayrif mitame begadim. Someone who burns the parim and the srafim, their garments become tamei. But v'loy hamatzes as a ur mitame begadim. Someone just lights the fire, doesn't actually involve in the burning of the animal, of the carbon, his garments do not become tamei. And v'loy ha'masadeh es ha'marachah mitam begadim, even someone who organizes the pyre, which is the fire, as long as he's not actively involved in the burning of the animal on that fire, his garments also do not become tami. Ve'izehu sarif, and who is this that we said that if he's burning the carbon, that then his garments become tami? It means ha'masayyeh b'shas sreif, as long as he's assisting at the time of the burning, which Rashi points out that this Tana is like Reb Shimon, who says that the garments do not become tummy once you leave the first machna, as we said in our Mishnah. Rather, as he was quoted in our Mishnah, Achayatzis ben Ur, until the fire takes a hold of the majority of that, of the carbon, of the parma and the srafim, which are burnt out of the 3 machnas, that's who the Tana is going like. You have to be involved in the burning, but anyone not actively involved in the burning itself, their garments do not become tummy. Now, says the Braisa, Yachal af mishanasu efer metambugadim. So anyone who's involved in the burning, you would think even if it already became ashes and someone is trying to burn it, that then his garments become tamei. Tamalema, no, that's what the Pasuk teaches in Vayikra Tezayin Chavches, that it says that whoever's going to burn oisam, them, so he has to wash his garments and he has to wash his flesh in water. What that tells you, oisam metambugadim, them, the actual animal itself, if you're burning them, then it's going to transmit tumah to that person. But umashanasan efer imatamagum, once it's ashes, it's not them anymore, then it's not going to transmit tumah to those people's garments. Now, Rabbi Shimon, he says, Isam metam begodim, similar type of interpretation, says them will, if you're involved in the burning, will transmit tumma to the person's garments. But nitacha basr im metam begodim, but if the meat already decomposed, then it's not going to transmit tumma to the garments. So says the Gemara, but now what's the difference between the Tanakhama's version and Rav Shimon's version? So Amar Rabbi says ikibenayu deshavi charucha. The difference between them is if it was made into like charcoal, if it was made charred, where the meat was already decomposed, but it's not yet ashes. According to Tanakhama, it will still transmit tumma until it becomes actual ashes, because it's still aysam, according to the Tanakhama, it's them, but when it's ashes, that's not going to be called them. Whereas according to Reb Shimon, it's not going to transmit tumma to the person's garments anymore, because it's not them anymore, according to him. It's already charred, it's already, the meat's already decomposed, and therefore, according to him, that would be a case of not being metama the begadim. Hanulach Tful Yom, which I return to the 12th parak of Masech Tzvachim, parak Tful Yom, which discussed halachas relating to those who are forbidden to partake of the portions of the karbanis, and also regarding those karbanis that don't have portions, like the parma and shrimah and srafim. And with that, we continue on to the 13th parak, parak Hashechet Va'amala, which continues the related discussion, which are also regarding karbanis that are taken out, unlike the previous Mishnayos, which we were discussing, which their mitzvah is to take them out, the parma, sirim, and srafim, they're burnt out of the three machnas. Here we talk about inappropriately, not according to the mitzvah. If someone is hashechid v'hamal, if someone slaughters or brings up a carbon in the sacrifice b'chutz, out of the area where it's supposed to be, which is supposed to be in the azara, and here, the loik mitzvah, he does and he takes it outside. Now, specifically, the halacha of our Mishnah is coming to tell us a chiddush that even if they're done in one lapse of awareness, that chayiv al hashchita, there's going to be two liabilities. One for the slaughtering it out of the area of the Beis HaMikdash of the Azara, and the chayiv al halah, and he's also going to be liable for bringing it up and to burn it as a carbon, which, because these are two different averis, because both of them are said in the pasuk in Be'ikur Yud Zayin, Ashi Yishachid, Rebbe is going to slaughter, and Bashayal, Rebbe is going to bring it up. So although, if let's say it would be one avera, if one lapse of awareness, one would only be chayiv one. But here, because two lapses of awareness is one would be chayiv even the same avera many times. One lapse, which is someone just didn't realize, and they made a mistake, that one would not be chayiv more than one karban chatas, if it's one avera. These are considered two different averas for slaughtering and for bringing up the karban on that altar outside of the Erev Hazar. Now, Rabbi Yisrael Glili Omer, he says it depends. Shachat bifnim vehela b'chutz, and therefore he's disagreeing. He says that if the carbon was slaughtered inside, as appropriate as one's supposed to do with a carbon, but then it was brought up as a sacrifice outside of the Beis HaMikdash of the Azara, then the Girsa is chayiv, he's going to be liable. Shachat b'chutz vehela b'chutz, but this is that what he disagrees with the Tanakhama. But if it was slaughtered outside and it was also brought up as a carbon outside, then Potter, he disagrees, he says, and he's going to be exempt. Why? Shlehele eladav apostle. For the shechita, maybe you could be chayiv. But for the bringing up, what's he bringing up? Only something that's already possible because already slaughtered outside, which already invalidated the carbon. Now, we need to be liable for what you're doing outside, which would have been accepted if it was done inside. Like the pasuk says, "Vel Pesach el moed labiyena." He did not bring it to the Pesach el moed, rather did it outside. Which means to say, but that you could have, and it would have been accepted had you done it inside. But here, if you would have brought up this carbon inside on the Mizbeach, what was already slaughtered outside, it wouldn't be accepted because it's already invalidated by being slaughtered outside. Therefore, one's not going to be liable for the halah b'chutz if it was slaughtered outside. But Amar Lai, the Chacham, the Tanakhama said back to him, no, afas sheichet bifnim amal b'chutz, but even the case that you're describing, let's say it was slaughtered inside and then was brought up outside, kivain shehitzi'i paslai, once it's taken outside, there's the psul known as yaitzi, that it was taken out of the perimeter that it's allowed to be. And still you're saying that then he would be liable because it was slaughtered appropriately inside. But what's the difference? Before you brought up on the Mizbeach, it already became pasul. So therefore say the Chachamim that the same thing would apply even when it was slaughtered outside and was brought up outside, one would also still be chayv on the Allah, and therefore if it was done in Behelam Echad, there's still going to be a liability of the Shechita and the Halah. Now similarly, because we said this Machlik Zibrisa Gluli in the Rabbanon, we say it by the next case too, because it's similar and it's also another Machlik is between the Chacham and the Rabbisa Gluli. HaTameh Sha'achal Ben Kaidish Tameh Ben Kaidish Tar. A person that's Tameh, whether he's eating Kachim that's Tameh or Kachim that's Tar, say the Chacham, Chayim, he's going to be liable for the Isser of a Tameh person eating Kachim. Now Rabbisa Gluli, he disagrees. He says, depends. Tamei she'achol tar chayiv. If he's a tamei person who's eating pure kachim, then he's liable. But the tummy sha'achal tummy potter, but if he's a tummy kain, eating tummy kachim, then he's going to be exempt. Why? Sha'achal davar tummy. He didn't eat bona fide kachim. He ate tummy kachim. That's not viable as kachim, and therefore he's going to be exempt. On that, they said to him, af tummy sha'achal esa tar, but even the case that you agreed to, when a kain tummy eats kachim that's tar, kivin shenaga boy tum uhu. Once he touches it, as he's about to put it in his mouth, he's touching it, he already made a tummy. And even so, you hold, when he eats it as a kain tummy eating kachim that's tar, he's going to be liable. But what's the difference if the meat became tummy through his hand as he's putting it into his mouth, or if it became tummy through something else? And therefore they disagree and they say, just like you agree over there, same thing would be a kain tummy sha'achal kachim that's tummy, would also be chayiv for the iser of a kain tummy eating kachim. Now, however, for tahar sha'achal tummy, regarding a case when the kain is tar, but only the kachim is tummy, then there everyone agrees pati is going to be exempt. She'en chayiv ela al tumas aguf, the liability, but this halacha of karis, and thus, if one does it by mistake to be chayiv akar mechatas, is only when the kohen has the tumah on his body and he's eating the kachim, where there was a machlekes regarding if the kachim is tar or even if it's tummy, but not in the case of when he's tar and the piece of meat is tummy. Because as the pasuk says, the tumase olav v'nechasa, the tummy is on it, him, then there's going to be karas, which the Gemara said on Daf Mem Gimel Alav, what is olav? Is that olav on the meat? Or is it a love on the person? The Gemara proved it must be tumas aguf on the person's body, because it's saying if the tumah is on it, which sounds like the tumah could be taken off of it, that's only a person who could immerse himself in the mikveh and take off his tumah, in contrast to a piece of meat which cannot be removed. And therefore we see that the halach of karis, and thus if one does by mistake, b'shege to b'chai v'chatas, is tumas aguf and not tumas habasar, although there's a prohibition, but there's not going to be the liability of karis and all its consequences in regards to halachas of tumah and kachim. It's only if, at least, if there's tumas haguf on the kayin, in contrast of he's tar, which the piece of meat's not making him tumah, then it's not going to have the halacha of the chiv of karas. So now the Gemara explains the opening halacha of our Mishnah. Bishlem halah, we understand, regarding the halacha of having the liability of karas and thus karmachatas of adam b'shege regarding bringing up the carbon to sacrifice it, in regards to doing that out of the Azara, which specifically, as we'll see in the next daf, we're referring to kachim which are slaughtered appropriately inside, and then it's brought outside and brought up on the altar outside of the Azara, where ksiv einish uksiv azara. We understand, which is the requirement of having a karma chatas, that it says in the Torah regarding the punishment if one does it, and it also says the prohibition, the warning if one does that. As the Gemara explains, einish tchsiv, the einish, like it says, the pasuk in Mayikram, where it says Vel Pesach Oyel Moed, and the gear says Loy Vienu, where it says, or Loy Havioi, that if it to the opening of the Oyel Moed he doesn't bring it, where either Pasuk that it's referring to, it says V'nichas Hayishahu Mekarav Ama, he talks about that he's going to get Karis, where if it wasn't brought in this appropriate place, which refers to Halal there too, that which is supposed to be burnt in the Azar. So it says regarding Karis. Now Azhar Dechsev, we also know that there's it says in the Torah prohibition, like it says the Pasuk in Devarim, says, be careful, lest you go ahead and you bring up your oila, where it says, in any place that you're going to see fit, meaning, and you're not going to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, which, where do we see over there that that's a negative prohibition? Because, says, wherever it says the following words in the pasuk, he shamar, be careful, pen lest, va'al, or no, in the Elul Lysa, it's referring to a negative prohibition. So this pasuk, it says, Hishamar is saying a negative prohibition of bringing the Ayla as a halah in any place if it's not going to be into the Azara. So we understand how there's going to be a liability of Karmachatas for being Mala Bachotz. El Shchita, but regarding the first halacha of Hashechet Vamala of slaughtering Bachotz out of the Azara, so Bishlam Einish Tachsev, we understand that there's a punishment, that same pasuk in the Yikra, that says, Vel Pesach El Moed Lo Hevir. It says, and if he's not going to bring it to the opening of the Oil Moed, because the two parashiyas of Shechit and Allah are right near each other, they're in Pashas Achrei Mois. And this pasuk of not bringing it to the Pesach Oil Moed refers also to the slaughtering. And it says over there, like we said, V'nichra Sa'ish, that there's going to be karis, so we know that there's a punishment. El Azhara Min Alon. But how do we know that there's, we know a person gets punished, but where does it say in the Torah that there's a prohibition? Now the reason for this is because the only way to be liable for karma chatas when one does it by mistake is only if there's a negative prohibition. Because a chatas has to have two components. It has to have a lav, a negative prohibition, and that there's a punishment of karis if one does it, b'meis it deliberately, like the Mishnah teaches in Masechtas Krisis in the opening and beginning of the Masechta, that in contrast to, let's say, Karban Pesach, if not bringing the Pesach or not doing circumcision, although that there's a punishment of karis if one doesn't do it over there, but since they're mitzvahs aseh, they're positive commandments, there's not a liability if one doesn't do it for Karban Chatas, because it has to be both karis and lav. So we know that by shechita, doing it outside, there's a punishment of karis. But where do we know that there's a lav to say that one would be chayav karban chatas? Says the Gemara, Amakra, because the pasuk says, "Miyikra v'lo yizbuchu oid," which the pasuk there says, not to slaughter anymore as if chayim their sacrifices laseirim to the demons. Which, what's this pasuk referring to? It must be referring to doing an inappropriate type of slaughtering, which is instead of doing an azar, one is doing it outside of the azar, which is the prohibition of warning regarding shechut echutz. So that's the source for the azar. That is the Gemara, Haimi Boyle, like Tribal Aza. How can you say that this is what this seemingly extra pasuk is referring to? We need it for a different drasha, that of Rebbe Elazar. Dama, that he said as follows. He says, "Minayin lezevech behema lemarkoilis." And what do we know if someone slaughters an animal for the Avodah Zarah known as Markoilis, where although generally the way that Avodah Zarah is served is done in a disgraceful way, where they actually stone that idol with stones, whereas in contrast, slaughtering an animal is a way of a dignified type of worshipping, and therefore really it shouldn't qualify for like the Pasuk's prohibition of Avodah Zarah of Eicha Yavdu Ve'esekim, which is how is this served, and I'm going to serve it exactly as it's served. Why would there be a liability of slaughtering, which is derech kavod from Akailis, which is usually worshipped in the way of bezayin, of disgrace? Even so, says Rabbi Elazar, how do I know shu chayev that one would be liable for slaughtering a carbon for the Markailis? Because the chesed says in the pasuk, which is this pasuk, for yizbuchu eidez evchayim, that they shouldn't slaughter anymore their sacrifices for the demons. Now, if this pasuk is not teaching us anything regarding slaughtering a carbon for an idol which is usually worshipped like that, because the chsiv echayavd, because there's a different pasuk in Devarim that already tells us the prohibition of don't come to worship an idol the way it's normally worshipped, which is in a dignified manner. So I already know that from that pasuk. So what would it be saying over here as a prohibition of slaughtering for an idol? Must be, says Rabbi Elazar, Tanei Inyan L'Shalakadarka, that's even telling you that it's a prohibition even to worship an idol which is not usually worshipped that way, like Markoilis, which is usually worshipped in a disgraceful way, that even so that slaughtering is a type of dignified manner, it's still going to be prohibited. But one thing is that you see the pasuk is used for the Isser of Zevech Behemel Markoilis, and not for, like we said before, regarding saying, where's the Hazhara of Ashechet Bachutz? So Amar Rabbi says, not a difficulty. You could fit both interpretations in that pasuk. Because Karibe V'le Yizbuchu, you could recite it one drush of don't slaughter. The Karibe V'le Yizbuchu, and you also could recite, and not anymore. Meaning, if the drush was only, like we were asking that question, only for Rabbi Elazar's halacha regarding the Markoilis, for that idol, it should have just said, V'le Yizbuchu, and there shouldn't be any more their slaughterings for the demons. Why did it say the words V'le Yizbuchu? Those words, is to come and to say the prohibition of shechut echutz, of slaughtering a carbon out of the Azara, which is also near that pasuk, near that parsha, and therefore it's also referring to that. But the Gemara asks, Akati mibayli, look at the Tanya, but still, even if you're splitting up the pasuk into two different halachas, Rabbi Elazar's halacha Markoilis and the Azara for shechut echutz, you still need those extra words of l'yizbuchu for a different halacha, which is taught in the following brisa. The brisa says, Adkan, up until this pasuk of l'yizbuchu, everything that was said in the psukim up until this point, which was saying that there's a punishment of karis for whoever slaughters a carbon out of the azara, or whose malid brings it up on the altar out of the azara, who medaber bekadshim, this was all talking about karbanas shegdishin b'shas isra abamis, which were sanctified, they were only made into karbanas at a time when it was already prohibited to sacrifice karbanas on private altars, where there were certain periods when it was permitted, certain times that it was forbidden, which is from the time that when the Mishkan was already erected, that it was then only after that that the person was makdish that behema. Now, the reason for that is because had these karbanas been sanctified beforehand, when bamas were still permitted, if not for, as we're going to see, that there's an extra pasuk including them, I would have assumed that I would not know that, because maybe the isra of shechita b'chutz and hela b'chutz is only for those that were even made into a karban when bamas are awesome. But if they were made into karbanas when they were permitted, even though now the Mishkan is up, maybe I would think that one could actually sacrifice them out of the azara. So therefore says the Braisa that up until this pasuk, all I would know is regarding karbanos that were sanctified at a time when altars were already forbidden, and they're kriven b'shasis abamis, and then the person moreover goes and sacrifices it outside at a time when the private altars are forbidden. That's what the pasuk is saying, that there's a punishment of karis for shchudichutz and hel machutz. Now the reason for this is, as the Gemara continues on Beis, is sharei einshin amar, because their punishment is said, meaning as Rashi explains, meaning because we could assume that when the pasuk is saying this prohibition, which then, and it says the punishment, that it would assume it would refer to that which we would assume is that the least amount that's necessarily inferred from the pasuk, which is that it was nikdash, it was sanctified at a time when bamis already aser. Because as the pasuk says in Vayikra, which we quoted before, it says vel pesach el moed, that the opening of the el moed, like the pasuk says over there, he doesn't bring it to bring it as a carbon for Hashem in front of the mishkan. So that person is v'nichas isha hu mikarav ami, he's going to get karis. And Azhara Dechsev, and the prohibition that it says, the pasuk in Devarim, as we mentioned this before, Hisham lochom pentalo ilesecha, be careful that lest you bring up your oilis, like it says, b'chamakam ashatera, in any place where you see fit. So that's the lois aseh. But that was up until this pasuk of v'leyizbechu, but mekam ve'elech, from here on, says the Braisa, where it says, lamana sheyaviyu, where it says these words, ashehim zayifchim, which they slaughter, sounds like, as the Gemara is going to explain right now, that Ashahim Zayfchim sounds like in the present tense, which these are kabbanis which were ready to be slaughtered on a bama. But then the pasuk is saying, but still from here on has to be Bavim Lashem, you have to bring it to Hashem. And that's why the Braisa says, from here on is where the pasuk is including a bigger chiddush. Bizvachim Shekidshan Shekdishan Beshas Heter Bamas. We're even referring to karbanis which were sanctified as karbanis at a time when altars were still permitted, and still Vehekrivim Beshas Issa Bamas, and it's telling us the punishment even if it was sanctified at a permitted time, but now he's sacrificing at a time when altars are already forbidden. How do we know this? Because Shenema the Pasuk says, "Lema'an asher yaviu b'nei Yisrael es zivchem," so that the Jewish people bring their kabbanis, "Asherhem zivchem," which they slaughter. What that sounds like it's saying, "Asherhem zivchem," which they slaughter, sounds like, "Zivachem shertati l'cha kfar." I'm talking about kabbanis which they're ready to slaughter because they had been permitted to be brought on the bama up until now. But now that the altars are forbidden, even though this was already sanctified before in the permitted time, but now the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, is already erect, continues the Pasuk, Al-Panei HaSad, and this is the way the Drush is interpreting the Pasuk, on the surface of the field, Lo Melecha, what's the Pasuk telling you? Hazevech B'Shas Isra HaBamas, if someone slaughters the carbon at a time when Bamas are prohibited, again, even if it was sanctified when it was Ashahim Zeifchim, which was ready to be slaughtered, the Pasuk considers it as if he's sacrificing out in the fields, meaning not for Hashem's sake, which is prohibited. And therefore says the Pasuk, rather, they should be brought to Hashem, which do mitzvahs to say, that's a positive commandment, even for these karbanas, which were sanctified at a permitted time, but now the bum is forbidden, there's a positive commandment to bring it only lifnei Hashem and Hazara. And continues the Braisa, Loisa say, a negative prohibition by those which were sanctified at a time when they were still permitted. Minayin, how do I know? Because for those that were at a time when sanctified at a time when Bamas already also that already said from Hisham Lacham Pental Secha. How do I know that it's even negative prohibition? And this is the main idea that the Gemara is asking from. For those that had Shas had the Bamas, that they're also going to be forbidden to be done outside, Minayin, Tamalayma, that's the Pasich of Allah Yizbuchu Oid, that they should not be slaughtered anymore. That sounds like that only now they're becoming prohibited. Because up until now, they were permitted. No more should they be slaughtered outside. Which, that's the Gemara's question, which you see that these words are not teaching the classic halacha of Shechita Bachutz, that is Azhara. It's teaching a unique halacha regarding that even if it had a Shas Heter Bamais, when they were sanctified, now that the Bamais are usher, they're not allowed to sacrifice it outside. But it's not coming to teach us regarding the classic halacha of when there was an Isra Bamas, when they were sanctified, that then there's an Isra of Shchut Echutz to tell us Azhara Bachutz. Now continues the Braisa, Yachal Yehei Anish Karas. You would think that, okay, it seems like it's just like the classic case of Halah Bachutz, that it would even have a punishment of Karas. If one does it deliberately, he dies at a young age. Tamal Leima, that's what the Pasuk teaches. No. Chukas Oilam Tia Zeis Lehem L'Deraisim. This should be an everlasting statute for them, for the generations, which this teaches Zeis Lehem. Regarding this situation that had a Shas Heter Bamais when it was Hukdash, although we're saying that there's a positive commandment and a negative prohibition, It's saying, but Zayislam, only this which we just brought out from the pasuk that is asein leisa say that's for them. But it's inferring v'loy achareslam, but there's not anything else that's going to be for them. Meaning, it's not going to have the punishment of karis. But again, the question the Gemara is asking is, but the pasuk of liyizbuchu oid. We already said what the other half of the pasuk is coming to teach, that halacha Rabbi Elazar Markeilus. So he said, but Yizbuchu will teach. We say, no, even that is being used for this unique halacha of Shas Hetabamis. Where do we know the classic Azhara for Shchut Eichutz if it can't be learned out from V'lai Yizbuchu, because V'lai Yizbuchu is teaching V'lai Yizbuchu Oid regarding that of Shas Hetabamis. So that says the Gemara, Ela Amar, and the Gir says, Abaya. He says, what do you mean, Kavu Chaymer? You're right. We're not going to learn out from V'lai Yizbuchu Oid regarding the classic Azhara for Shchut Eichutz, because it's being used for the halacha that even if it had a heter bamis, that still there's going to be an iser, a leisa, say, on slaughtering those karbonas outside. But he says it's a kavu chaimer, because a ma b'makom shalei onish, if in a place where there's not even a punishment of karis, meaning referring to this halacha that we were just talking about regarding kachim that was sanctified at a time when bamis was still permitted, still hizer, there's a prohibition that's mentioned in the Torah, which was this pasuk of Yizbuchu Oid, which is referring to those that Shas Hetabamis. So it says Abaye, so Makom She'anish. So in a place where there is a punishment of Karis regarding Shchut Eichutz, meaning if we're sanctified at a time when Bamis are already forbidden, in the Din Shahizr, isn't it a Kavul Chaimer that of course there's going to be a prohibition? If those Shchut Eichutz, which don't even have Karis, there's no Anash, have Azhar, like we said, that's what Yizbuchu Oid is coming to teach us. So then those that have even Karis of Shchut Eichutz, which was sanctified at the time of Shas Issur Bamis, of course there's Azhar. So from a Kavul Chaimer, we know that there's Azhar, and that's how we know there's going to be a liability of a Karma Chatzis, because it has a Einish, and if it has Azhar from a Kavul Chaimer, from those that even had a Shas Issur Bamis, which don't even have Karis. Now, the Gemara later on is going to ask, but Masir Min Adin, do you think we could create a prohibition from the logic of a Kavul Chaimer? One does not do that, and therefore the Gemara is actually going to fall off with this interpretation. But first the Gemara asks a different question. Amalei Ravina Ravashi says, Im Kain, if that's correct, the way Abai is saying it, that you could learn that a Azhara from a Kavul Chaimer, so then, Lo Yirmalav B'Chelev, the Torah should not have to say a negative prohibition regarding eating the forbidden fats of an animal, because with Tetzi Kavul Chaimer Neveli, you could learn that there's Azhara, meaning to be liable to Karmachatas, by eating Chelev from a Kavul Chaimer, from eating from a dead animal carcass. Because man nevela shalei onish, if regarding a dead animal that was not properly slaughtered, if one eats from it, one does not get a punishment of karis. It's a negative prohibition, but there's no karis. And still hizir, there's a negative prohibition, which if one does it by mistake, he's liable for karma chatas. So chelev sha'anash, regarding eating forbidden fats from an animal, which if one does, he gets a punishment of karis. In a din shehizir, isn't a kavul chaimer? Of course, that is going to be a negative prohibition, b'chayv chatas. Why does the Torah have to then tell you, according to Abai's interpretation, the ashara of chelev? So Aslikah made the Rabbah, they came in front of the Rabbah with this question. And Amalahem, he said to them, no. And the Girsa takes it the word Nami, Minevela loy Asya. No, you can't learn it from a Kavul Chaimer from Nevela. Because the Ekele Mefach, you can refute the Kavul Chaimer. There's a certain stringency by Nevela, which would therefore not be a Kavul Chaimer to Chelev, and so too for all of those that were about to say that they have a certain stringency, and therefore there's not a valid Kavul Chaimer, because Man le Nevela shekeim etame. In contrast, a dead animal carcass transmits Tumah. In contrast, a chaylev by itself, just by being chaylev, does not transmit tumah. Nevela automatically transmits tumah. So it has a certain severity. Maybe over there it has asara, and it wouldn't be a kavul chaimer to chaylev. But then continues Rav, and he says, and if you're going to say, okay, fine, you can't learn it from nevela, but let's learn out that there's a prohibition by chaylev from a kavul chaimer, mishrotzim temeyin, from the types of shrotzim that transmit tumah, which are what's called the shmein shrotzim. There's eight types of vermin that transmit tumah by when they die. And say, oh, there it was loy anash, there's no karis, but yet if one consumes it, but yet there's going to be asar, there's a negative prohibition. And that says, the Gemara says, Rabbi, no, because malash ratzim tameim shemitam b'mashra, they have a certain stringency where they transmit tumah in even a minute amount if they're the size of a lentil. In contrast, forbidden fats, their prohibition of consumption is only with the size of an olive, which is bigger. So therefore, maybe it's not a kavul chaimer. And says Rava, and if you're going to learn the mishratzim tahirim from those shratzim which do not transmit tuma, for example, like a frog or an ant, where these shratzim are tar, so it doesn't have that stringency of the shratzim tameim, but still it has a stringency, and all these are all saying that even though there's no einish of karis and all these things, still does har for shorta chil, which has einish of karis for shorta chil basar from kavul chaimer, and they were saying that no, malah shratzim tahirim, how can we learn that from shratzim tahirim she isurin b'mashru? where their prohibition of consumption is even a minute amount like the size of a lentil. Like a Braisa teaches in Masechtas Megillin, the Gemara, to learn in Kodesh Mizbeach, the Tezayim Abayz, it says in the Pasuk, V'lishishaktu es nafshei seichem bebehema bo'ev, you should not disgust your soul with eating certain types of things, which the Pasuk opens up with consumption, with eating, and it concludes with the halacha of tuma. Why? To tell you, the measurement that applies to tuma of the shrutzim that are tame, which we said is the size of a lentil, will be the same measurement of consumption of all shrutzim, even those that do not transmit tuma, because they're all being included in the same pasuk. And it says, b'chol asher timrasa adama, which includes all the vermin, which the shear of their tuma, the Gemara learns, chagigadav yudavim abeis, that's the size of a lentil, because a chaymet, its initial creation is the size of a lentil, so therefore all of them learn that from there regarding the laws of tumah, and therefore the law of consumption of the shratzim of all of them are also going to be the size of a lentil. So therefore that is still a stringency that it has over the law of chaleb, which is only the size of a kezayis. Now, if you're going to say you should learn that from a kavuchayim me'arla b'klai akarim, from a fruits in its first 3 years, and from a forbidden mixture of wheat and barley in a vineyard, there also there's no punishment of curse, but there's asara for sure kavuchem etachelev. No, because mal arlo klai kerem, that they have a stringency shekin yisurim b'hana, that their prohibition is not just for consumption, there's even a prohibition of having any benefit from them, which does not apply to chelev. And if you're going to say mishmish, you should learn that from the prohibition of the shmita produce, but mal shvish shekin tefeset demel, we find a certain stringency that applies uniquely to shmita, where the prohibition of the shmita produce, when it gets transferred to money, that money also gets that same prohibited status. As a Braisa teaches himself, the Sukkot of Memem Abayis, it says, Kodesh Tilechem, the Shemitah produce should be holy to you, which compares the halacha to Hekdesh. Just like Hekdesh, that what it gets transferred for, that money now gets the sanctity of Hekdesh. So through Shemitah, its monies also get that sanctity. In contrast, that does not apply when one sells Chalim, that money does not have the halacha of Chalim. Mitruma, if you're going to say we should learn it from Truma, Shekein lehutu mechlala, you cannot, because truma is never has a permitted status. It always is prohibited for a non-kayin. In contrast, chaylev does have a category of it that's permitted, because it's only prohibited by behema, by a chaya, by a wild animal. Those chaylev, those fats are actually permitted. So therefore, that's the stringency that truma has over chaylev. And so to mekulunami, all these categories, you could ask that same question that we just said, shekein lehutim mechlalim. All those yisurim that we mentioned never have permitted statuses, in contrast to chaylev, has a hutim mechlali in the laws of chaya. And therefore, you had to say, says Rava, that you could not have learned out chaylev as a ashara from a kavuchamim, from any yisurim, and that's why I had to say ashara from chaylev, even with Abaye's concept standing, that one could learn out ashara from kavuchamim, and that would still not be difficult with chaylev, because you cannot learn a chaylev from any other isser. Because, again, that hutcha machlali, in contrast to all these other isurim. However, Amar Rava, what Rava does say, it says, e kashali, but if I do have a difficulty with this teaching that we just said before, that how do we know that there is azhara, a prohibition for shchutei chutz in general, from this kavochema that Abai had said, that we know it from those kachim that had a heter bamis when they were sanctified, that it's still prohibited to... And it says in the Torah, Azhara from Lizbuchu Oid, to do Shchutei Chutz. So therefore, a Kavuchem to those that were sanctified at the time of Isra Bamis, says, if I do have a difficulty with this, it's not what was asked before, but rather Hakashli. It's this that's difficult to me. Which is Haditnan. We learned in the Mishnah, the opening Mishnah Masechtas Krisis, which it opens up talking about 36 halachas that the laws of Koris apply to them, which if one does it B'shagig, then there's going to be chayav karmachatas. Now, it says over there in that Mishnah that Pesach im Mila, regarding not bringing the karm Pesach or not doing circumcision, which there's a punishment if one doesn't do that deliberately of karis, that's because of a mitzvah saseh. They come because of a violation of a positive commandment. But therefore, one's not going to be liable a karmachatas if he does it by mistake, because a karmachatas, like we said before, only comes with two criteria. One has to have a negative prohibition, and if one violates it, that it has a punishment of karis, like the pasuk says, asher lo yisrei asenu. If it's not done, then it has to be a passive, which is one is violating a negative prohibition, an active, and not just not doing a positive commandment. Now, on that asks Ravam, but why? Why does it not have a karma chatas? You're saying because it's only, even though it has karis, but it's only an asay, it doesn't have a loisase. But asks Rava, based on the bias principle, tasi, we should actually learn and bring it to say that it has azar, but kavuchaymer mimaiser, a kavuchaymer from when one leaves over from his carbon up until the morning from the halacha that we know is nicer. And we can say the following kavuchaymer. Ma maiser shalei onish hiser, if regarding the laws of nicer, of leaving over carbon, which if one does that, He does not get a punishment of karas, but yet still the Torah says there's a negative prohibition. So Pesach Amila she'anas, regarding the Karban Pesach and circumcision, which if one violates it, one gets a punishment of karas, in the din she'hezer, isn't it a kavul chomer, just like Abayat said, that it has a negative prohibition. So then why is it not included in those that gets a karban chatas? And then Rav Ashi says, Amita l'shmaita k'meid Rav Kana. I said over this teaching with this whole question of Rava on Abayat's teaching in front of Rav Kana. But Amalini said to me, that's not difficult. Because Mimaisa lo Asi, you would not be able to know if I'm a Kavachim from Naiser, because Dekele Mifrich, you could refute the Kavachim. Because you could say, Mala Maisa Shekein in Le Takana. Regarding Naiser, there's no way to rectify that. Once you left it over, there's no way you could eat it anymore. It has to be burnt. And therefore, maybe over there, there's a negative prohibition. Taima Pesach, Yesh Le Takana. In contrast, how can you compare it to say that there's Azhara by Pesach, where there is a way of rectifying, even if you missed the Karban Pesach, because you can make it up by Pesach Sheni the month later in Ir, and therefore it's not a Kavul Chomer, and that's not a difficulty. But what the Gemara does now, however, go back on the teaching of Abaya, which was learning this Azhara for Shchut Echutz from a Kavul Chomer, from those that had a Shas at the Bamis. And that is the Gemara, as we alluded to the question earlier, could we create a prohibition from a logic of a Kavul Chomer? But as the Gemara, even according to the opinion that's brought in Masechtas Makkos, that holds Einshin Min HaDin, that we could create a punishment based on the law of Kavul Chomer, even he agrees that Ein Mazhirin Min HaDin, but you cannot create a prohibition based on a Kavul Chomer. Because there's a brayse in the first pack of Masechtas Makkos of Heima Beis that talks about the pasuk of Ish Ki Yikach Es HaChesei, the prohibition of a man will take and have relations with his sister. So says the brayse, I would only know if it's his father's daughter that's not his mother's daughter, or his mother's daughter that's not his father's daughter, because that's how the pasuk says it. His sister that's from his father, meaning his paternal sister or his maternal sister. Says the brayse, how do I know it applies even if it's like a regular sister, meaning from his father and his mother? That's what the Braisa says. The Pasuk teaches, Ervas Achaisa Gila, an extra Pasuk to say that the nakedness of his sister he reveals, meaning having a rias with his sister, which teaches, even if she's a full-fledged sister, both from his father and his mother. Now, difficulty is, isn't that a Kavul Chomer? Of course, if she's just partly a sister, like from a maternal or paternal, of course if she's a full-fledged sister, that one is going to be prohibited with that close relationship, which is even closer. On that, you learn that no, because ain't einish min hadin. That pasuk is referring to the punishment. You cannot create an einish based on a Kavul Chomer. So if you need an explicit reference to it in the Torah. Now, the same thing is regarding another pasuk when it talks about the ashara, the prohibition, where it says, Ervas Achis Chabasavich, when it talks about the warning of not having relations with one sister. It says also, if she's your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, so the Braisa says, I would only know if she's either or. How do I know that it's both? That's what the Pasuk teaches, because there also you learn the concept of Ein Masir Min Adin, because you cannot create a warning, a prohibition based on the Kavul Chomer. Now, however, there's a Machlekes Tanoim in the last parak, which they interpret the Pasuk of Achaisai Gila, when it talks about the Einish, for a different drasha. So therefore, regarding the punishment of a sister that's both his father's daughter and his mother's daughter, obviously they don't have the pasuk to teach regarding a full-fledged sister, because obviously they hold Einshin Min HaDin, because they don't have an explicit reference to it in the Torah. Must be because, yes, regarding the Einish of one sister, of doing Gila Arayis, that you could learn from a Kavul Chomer. But regarding the other Achayischehi, regarding the pasuk of the Asar of the prohibition, which is where we had learned out from that brayse of Ein Masir Min HaDin, even that Tana doesn't learn it for any other teaching. Because obviously you do need an explicit reference to it in regarding to Asara. So therefore, ask the Gemara, even though the Man Dama holds Ein Shem Min HaDin, agrees Ein Masir Min HaDin, so how do we understand this teaching of Abaya to learn out the Azhar of Shchutei Chutz in the classic case of when there was the Isra Bamis from the one of the, that was the Shas Heta Bamis from a Kavul Chomer, when you cannot learn Azhar Min HaDin from a Kavul Chomer? So rather, the Gemara falls off that interpretation. It says, Rabbi Yechanan, the Azhar of Shchutei Chutz we know from the teaching of Rabbi Yechanan. The Omar Asya Hava Hava, he says, you learn it from Gzeres Shava, from the term Hava that says by Shchita, from the term of Hava that says by Halah. By Shchita and by Yukri Zayin, it says Lo Yaviyay. By Halah, it says Lo Yaviyenu. And it's Gzeres Shava. Now, since that Gzeres Shava, those terms are superfluous, they're open, so it's as if it says that word, that halacha, by each one individually, and therefore that's not the same question of min hadin, as if we're learning out based on a kavochem that a person learned from himself. Gzeira Shavah tells you as if the Torah is saying explicitly, which teaches you malahalon loy onish elam kein hizer. So therefore we have the same halachas from the Gzeira Shavah, just like Baha'u'llah, as we proved before on Amud Aleph, that the punishment's only with the fact that it has a prohibition. Also over here, by the Shchut Echutz, the punishment is only together with Azhar, and that's how we know that it has not just Karas, but also Leis, and that's what one does in B'Shegig, one's going to be Chayv HaKarmachatas. Another interpretation, as you continue to talk about Kav Zayin Men Aleph, Rav Amei says, Kid Rabbi Yehuda, you know like Rabbi Yehuda said, Dam Rabbi Yehuda says, a different Gzeirah Shavah, he says, As Yesham Sham, where it says, Sham Tala Eloi Secha, or, and it says also, Sham Tasa, which it compares all the types of Asiyas, which includes Shechita, to Tala, which is the Halacha of Halah, which teaches us Ma'ala Halah, and just like over there by Halah. Like on the Shalom Kein Hisr, like we said before, that the punishment is only together with a prohibition. Afkan, also over here, by all the Asiyas, including Shechita, Bachutz, like on the Shalom Kein Hisr, the punishment is only together with a Hasara, and that's how we know that if one does it by mistake, that's where we know the source of the Hasara of Shechut Echutz, and therefore if one does it by Shegig, one's going to be Chayev, a Kar Mechatas.